What's going on today, Rick? What else is on your mind today?
Oh, yeah, well, I've been reading a whole slew of books from the late 1800s that I wanted to tell the listeners about. And I called
I called
on the Lee show about this too, but there's a whole bunch of books in the 1800s of which Vril the Coming Race was not the first. There's a whole bunch of books about the Hollow Earth, and Freemasons seem to have really been into the Hollow Earth or beings dwelling within the Earth. And the usual, I've noticed a pattern or a theme is that it's about the elite, some elite from the Earth's surface, from the United States military government or the British government, goes down into the interior of the Earth and encounters a race of beings that are superior and so supposedly and socialistic. They always encounter a utopia where there's like, you know, where everybody pays taxes and everybody's taken care of and everybody's equal. I came across a book from 1820 by an author named John Cleve Symes. And he was an American who fought in the War of 1812. This book was in 1820, which is 50 years before Vril's Power of the Coming, the Power of the Coming Race by Bulwer Lytton, which a lot of people talk about that book. This book in 1820 is about an American captain who sails into the interior of the Earth, and he leaves a ship. He leaves half his shipmates behind on Seaborn's land in Antarctica. And he sails into the South Pole, and when he gets there, he gets to a civilization called Symzonia, and that's the name of the book. Symzonia, and this is available on Google. And he goes to the best man, which is like the president, and leaves all his shipmates behind. They're prisoners on the ship. And in this civilization, there's plenty of gold and there's plenty of pearls. They even decorate their walls with pearls. And he describes jet fuel, jet power. This is in 1820. And then, yeah, that's another thing. There's always technology far in excess of what the surface people have. And the way I interpret the allegory of the book is that the people left behind on Seaborn's land, those are the people left behind in the New World Order that are to be killed off. And the shipmates on the ship are the survivors who are to be totally enslaved and imprisoned. And only the captain, gets to go experience the full utopia. And also another thing is while they're sailing toward it, it's ostensibly a sealing expedition. He tells all his crew that it's a sealing. He doesn't tell them that he's going into the interior of the world. And the compasses start going all wild, and they can't figure out what's going on. And the way that I interpret that is that, you know, the ship is the ship of state or the ship of the world. And the captain, is the elite. He knows where he's taking them, and he's taking the ship toward a socialist utopia, but he doesn't tell his shipmates that. And it's another thing to note, too, this was over 20 years before Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. This is a supposedly a patriotic American. So, he was a military guy who fought in the War of 1812, who wrote this book. So socialism has been a conception in the high elite of America ever since the beginning. And when you read this book, you could tell because he mentions the beehive and collecting bees and stuff, which is, you could tell he's a Freemason probably just by the language of the book, even though, you know, there's scant information about him that I found on the internet so far. You know, so I just wanted to tell people about these books. There's another book called Etidorfa, which is Aphrodite backwards, Etidorhpa, in which a Freemasonic adept goes down into the earth. That's written in 1895. It's about William Morgan. It's kind of like William Morgan. He gets kidnapped, but instead of getting killed for exposing the order, he gets initiated into an even higher brotherhood, fraternity within the fraternity, and he gets taken by a being down into the hollow earth where there is a free energy mechanism that drives a boat 900 miles per hour across an underground ocean. And they get this energy out of the rotation of the Earth. So I just wanted to tell people about what are your thoughts on the Hollow Earth and the Hollow Earth beings and why Freemasons were so obsessed with this idea in the 1800s?
Well, it's amazing synchronicity. First off, Rick, make sure, do me a favor. I know you've got my email address because you sent me stuff before and stuff. Do me a favor and email me if you can. If you have links to all this stuff, all those books and everything that you just talked about, if you can do me that favor and email me links to all that stuff, man, I'd love to have that because some of the stuff that you just mentioned, I want to make sure I go out and find that because what's strange about it is that synchronistically, this is exactly the type of stuff where my research has gone lately. And, you know, a lot of us have been talking about a lot of this stuff in Hollow Earth. And that's one of the things I've been looking into and finding out more and more. Because there is, you find in all these ancient societies, you find talk about these portal systems. And I've talked about it on here on the show with some of the, I can't remember the guy's name offhand that I read a lot of his pieces. About Noel Huntley. I read some of his pieces. And there's this constant thing you find about, talk about these portal systems deep within the earth and how there are these portal systems that basically allow you to leap across great distances of the galaxy in a short period of time inside of the earth, and that this accounts for things like the Nazca lines and why this planet has been visited by apparent people from other civilizations since time immemorial. Everything from the Nazca lines to the heads on Easter Island to on and on and on, the pyramids and everything else. And and that's one of the things it talks about. And I've done more research on this and found things like this, you know, this talk about this opening the Middle Earth in Antarctica. Then I went and started doing some looking, and I actually found what appears to be this big hole in the middle of the Earth in Antarctica. And then lo and behold, when I was looking at it on Google Earth, I found this little thing next to it where there was an expedition by an exobiologist. And if you know what an exobiologist is, that's someone who studies extraterrestrial life. And it's right there on Google Earth. I'm going to, you know, it has this little thing. It's like a professional thing that was put on there by Google Earth. Just strange stuff like that. So what did you find out more and more? One of the things that I'm finding out when I was actually telling Guy Adams about this weekend was that a lot of people believe, some people do believe that this is why the Earth has been protected. Is that there are these portal systems. This accounts for all the UFO sightings throughout the years, because all these different ships and stuff are coming here to travel through these portals in the middle of the Earth, and this is why the Earth has been protected, and that the elite know this. And this is why the elite are just going full bore out with everything that they do, and why they pollute the Earth and do everything else, because they have this information that Earth is going to be protected and it's not going to be destroyed. And if that means that some other civilization comes and wipes out all of humanity, well, then so be it. They'll just go underground. But no, there is an obsession with things inside the earth, inside the middle ground. And I think that, and I do believe in that. I do believe that there are civilizations under there. There was one of my listeners about 7 or 8 months ago sent me a video, and it was called World of Lies. And it was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of a, you know, new agey kind of a conspiracy video. It had a bunch of stuff on there. But there was this one clip, and the funny thing about it is I've never been able to find any more information or any more references to this anywhere on the internet or anything else. But it was a lady, and it struck a chord with me because it was, she talked about Dallas. This woman says in this video, I've got this video clip. I should try to maybe cut the video clip out and put it up sometime. But she's talking about when they built the city where I live, Dallas, that when they built the sewer systems, and they started building the sewer systems underground in Dallas, that they found these laser-etched tunnels underground of Dallas, and basically found a whole city. Now, that, to me, just really sent off, you know, red flags in my mind, because, of course, of things like the mysterious rock wall that's, you know, right here on the banks of the Trinity, not far from Dallas, that you know, I've done research on and attempted to try to expose. And so I think that when there's more and more of that, it makes you wonder, you know, how many of these laser etched tunnels were found underneath city structures and whatnot. That, you know, I don't have a lot of information. I'm not fully knowledgeable. I'll admit that I'm not fully up to date on all of the information that there is concerning inner earth stuff and all this stuff. But it is something that I will tell you, Rick, that I'm right there researching. Me and my friends that's where we're at right now in our research and looking at. So it's just so synchronistic that you called in today, and I think it just speaks, and I was talking about that a couple of weeks ago. You find more and more that it seems like, because I'll see stuff like I'll see stuff from like Michael Desaurin, you know, he'll put out like a video or something, or Chris Everard or somebody will put out a video, and it'll just be right exactly where I was, like when Chris Everard came out with Spirit World 2 Alien Kabbalah last year. I mean, boom, it was right where I was at in my own research, and I was like, damn. You know, I mean, so I think that's where what's going on. I think that once you lock in to that collective consciousness, and once you lock into that, you start to find out that the people that are aware of this stuff are coming into almost the same exact stuff at the same exact time, without even having to confer with each other on the information. You just go where it takes you. You know, none of us choose where, you know, where we go in the stuff that we find out about research. We don't choose it. It chooses us. And what do? You know, you just go where it takes you. And that's why some of the stuff that I've gotten into and talked about here on my show that some people may think is kind of out there, kind of weird, you know, I try to explain that to you. But look, you know, I just go where it takes me. I don't go there because I choose it. But once you choose to get on that, you know, on the treadmill of information, it, you know, it's going to take you in places you didn't know. So, I mean, that's my thing, Rick. I don't have all, you know, I'm not an encyclopedia on the whole stuff with the Middle Earth stuff yet. But that's one of the big things for me. I mean, we want to start, like, I mean, me and my friends want to start going and finding these places. You know, we want to research this stuff and then go wherever they are in the world and go find it, you know?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to take a trip.